This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Eating a diet rich in vegetables, fruits, nuts, and fish may help older adults prevent age-related brain shrinkage, according to a study published this month in the online medical journal of the American Academy of Neurology. Carol Lofton reports.
The study published this month in the online medical journal of the American Academy of Neurology suggests that diet can impact brain volume, and people with greater volume have been shown to have better cognitive abilities. Brain shrinkage is an unavoidable part of aging, but significant brain shrinkage is associated with memory loss and loss of mental sharpness, as well as premature death. Researchers found, after adjusting for age, sex, education, smoking, and physical activity, that a better diet, defined as a diet composed of vegetables, fruits, nuts, whole grains, dairy, and fish, but a limited intake of sugary drinks, was linked to larger total brain volume when taking into account head size differences. Those who consumed a better diet had an average of 2 milliliters more total brain volume than those who did not. To compare, having a brain volume that is 3.5 milliliters smaller is equivalent to 1 year of aging. Researchers also stipulated that their research showed an association between better diet and brain volume and said that further studies are needed to confirm the results. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Across the United States, more than 2 million people work in energy efficiency. It makes up the largest sector of the nation's clean energy workforce. Virginia McGrath has had one of those jobs for 3 years. She's an energy auditor for Pittsburgh's Conservation Consultants Incorporated, and she says the conservation surrounding her work is changing.
I think that the energy efficiency field has made a transition. Instead of saving energy and saving money, we're talking about making a home safer and more comfortable. I think that that resonates with people a little bit more.
Lately, she spent a lot of time at a subdivision near Mars, Pennsylvania. For State Impact Pennsylvania's Voices of Energy series, McGrath shares her story while she inspects a newly built house.
There's no one living in this home currently. They're closing, I believe, next week, Wednesday. The builders are having me come in to make sure that all of the energy efficiency installations that they've done are done well and that they didn't miss anything. Anywhere where wire or plumbing penetrations are coming in, they would want to be air sealed. So these should have a bead of caulk around them. I'm gonna just take a picture. And then you see how there's spray foam on this side, not on this side. So it's just little things like that that I'm looking for. This is just something I'm gonna note, and they might come back and do it, or they might not, we'll see. I really enjoy being able to see the difference that I'm making. So if I go to a home and do an energy audit and recommend that they get insulation or they do these air sealing measures, and then I go back and do a post inspection, I get to actually see the difference that it's made in their home. And I know that that's going to save them money, make their home more comfortable, but it's also going to reduce that home's reliance on fossil fuels. So this is probably like a more awkward piece of equipment. This is the blower door. There's a test that I'm gonna do. It's an air leakage test. So I'll be sucking all the air out of the house and then being able to see where air leakage might be coming in. All right, we'll start it up. To put this in perspective, this home is probably similar size to mine, and my house was built in 1900 though, and I do this for a living, so my house is pretty airtight and it's insulated pretty well, but my blower door reading is like 3200, so almost twice as much as this house. And that's just something it's really hard to get with the older homes, unless you're totally gutting them and redoing them yourself and redoing them with energy efficiency in mind. So I did recently start flipping houses. It's been an adventure. I want to put my knowledge that I have towards energy efficiency into these homes. And I want to make these old, dilapidated homes as energy efficient as possible.
That was Virginia McGrath. Her story was produced by Amy Sisk for State Impact Pennsylvania, a collaboration between WHYY, WITF, WESA, and the Allegheny Front to cover the region's energy economy. To hear more voices of energy, visit State Impact Pennsylvania online. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. It's 7:50. Today, across West Virginia, variable cloudiness, warm and humid. There's a 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly during the afternoon. High temperatures today will be in the 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers, possibly a thunderstorm. Lows tonight will be in the 60s. Tomorrow, pretty much a repeat of today. Variable cloudiness, warm and humid, with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will be in the upper 70s to the mid 80s. More of the same sort of weather is expected on Friday. Support for this weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents are available at erieinsurance.com. The U.S. Surgeon General recently issued an advisory encouraging more Americans to carry the overdose-reversing drug naloxone. It comes in the form of an injection or a nasal spray known as Narcan and is regularly carried by firefighters, EMTs, and police officers. As part of a series on the ripple effects of the opioid crisis, State Impact Ohio's Ashton Mara reports that the antidote is also becoming more and more common in Ohio schools.
Students at David Anderson Junior and Senior High School in Lisbon, Ohio, file into the auditorium on a Thursday morning. A student group has organized a day of workshops for their classmates about making good decisions, and it starts with a visit from an inmate at the Columbiana County Jail. Brandy is 24 years old, pregnant with her fifth child, and awaiting sentencing for crimes she says she committed to feed her addiction.
Once you do it, you're chasing your high. And it's not fun because it becomes a physical addiction to where you will get sick if you don't have it, so you're constantly chasing it.
The rural school district near the Pennsylvania border serves about 900 students in a county where the number of drug overdose deaths doubled between 2015 and 2016. Lisbon exempted village superintendent Joe Sifke says, like much of the state, his county has an opioid problem. That's why they're focusing more time on educating students about the risk of drug use, like at the morning assembly. It's also why, just last month, they began supplying their school nurse with a new medication.
It's right here.
Nurse Kella Heron unlocks the cabinet where she keeps student prescriptions, some over-the-counter medicines like aspirin, and her two-dose kit of Narcan. Narcan is an opioid antagonist, a nasal spray that within minutes can reverse the effects of an opioid overdose.
And so somebody that's, you know, got a slower respiratory rate, they might be a little limp, like their muscle tone's not right, sluggish, and blue lips.
Heron and a select group of Lisbon school employees, the athletic director, guidance counselor, and principals, were trained on how to administer the drug. But Superintendent Sifke says the likelihood that staff will use Narcan to revive a student is slim.
Our vision is having things available for those off-hour activities because we are such an open facility for our community and loved ones are coming in, seeing their kids perform, doing multiple things.
Lisbon is one of the latest Ohio school districts to stock the antidote. Dublin City Schools near Columbus. It's had Narcan in all 19 of its buildings since 2016.
I don't have any quantitative data to share, but I'm very sure we were the first school system in Ohio to adopt it.
Dublin Deputy Superintendent Tracy Miller says the district of 16,000 students has taken a slightly different approach to Narcan training. Miller says hundreds of employees, from teachers to coaches to custodians, know how to use the nasal spray that has no negative health effects if administered to someone who's not experiencing an opioid overdose.
What we didn't want is for someone to begin showing signs of an overdose, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, okay, who's trained to do this? And then what if that designated person, whoever that is, what if they weren't available? Well, the answer is we want everybody to be trained to do this.
In Miller's Franklin County, overdose deaths increased by nearly 50% from 2016 to 2017, and Miller says his community fully supported the local Board of Education's position to stock the antidote. But that wasn't the case for Akron City Schools last year.
We had people on one side saying that we're encouraging kids to use those drugs and overdose.
Dan Rambler is the director of student support services for Akron Schools.
That, I think, is a fairly ridiculous statement.
Rambler equates Narcan to fire extinguishers. They're not there to encourage students to light fires, but are in every school in case of an emergency.
Human life is important regardless if people make horrible choices or not. You still save them. You still keep them alive. You try to get them to be better.
There's no central database tracking the number of Ohio schools that have Narcan on their campuses because it's supplied in different ways. Lisbon Schools got its kits for free through an Ohio Department of Health program. In Akron, the high school Narcan kits were provided by a pharmaceutical company, and the district paid $100 each for the 8 in the middle schools. And in Dublin, the Board of Education purchased more than 20 of the $50 kits on its own. So far, all three districts say they haven't had to use the overdose-reversing drug, but they're glad they have it, just in case.
In other West Virginia news, authorities say one of four people who were hospitalized after oil tanks exploded in West Virginia has died. 51-year-old Barry Latea of Weston died on Saturday at a Pittsburgh hospital. A medical examiner determined that Latea died of thermal and inhalation injuries. The four were employees of a company that was removing three oil tanks in West Union on Friday when the tanks exploded. State Department of Environmental Protection spokesman Jake Glantz says workers were dismantling the tanks with some kind of a torch, but the tanks were not entirely empty and they caught fire. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration says the employees worked for Hydrocarbon Well Services of Buchanan. A longtime federal warden has been named to lead the West Virginia Parole Board. The Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety says in a news release that Governor Jim Justice appointed Terrence O'Brien to a vacancy on the 9-member board and designated him as its chairman. O'Brien spent more than 30 years working in the U.S. corrections system. He retired in 2016 after 6 years as a warden in Hazleton, the state's largest federal prison complex. Military Affairs Secretary Jeff Sandy says he believes O'Brien will ensure public safety and help released inmates become productive members of society. The department says the West Virginia recidivism rate of 25.2% is now at a 10-year low. And some developers are hoping to have a whiskey distillery in production in West Virginia by this fall. A conditional use permit has been approved for the Bullock Distillery in Charleston. Ty and John Bullock are planning to open the facility in one of the former Stats Hospital buildings. Chief Operating Officer Ty Bullock told the Charleston Gazette-Mail the company plans to move slowly, starting with quality West Virginia whiskey. Bullock says they would like to use locally sourced ingredients, including West Virginia corn and spring water. Another permit to open a micro distillery was approved in March for Charleston. Bullock says if that distillery begins operating, they would like to have a whiskey tour similar to Kentucky's Bourbon Trail. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.